It's not your ordinary First Amendment debate. This is about a fugitive, hacking, and so much more. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away. Thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery, or a charger on the suitcase for your phone or other device, a built-in from pocket, and of course they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off your next suitcase, you can enter promo code CLNS. So this Assange story is the big story, and it's going to be the big story for a while because we've been talking about him for years. He's been on the run for years, and now he's behind bars.
And it's because he doesn't clean the bathroom and clean up after his cat.
That's what it is.
That's what finally drove the Ecuadorian embassy to say, see ya!
That's right. And, okay, for those of you who don't know the whole story, I mean, you've probably heard his name. It's come up, you know, WikiLeaks, the founder of WikiLeaks back in 2006. Basically, everybody was out, wanted him for something. And he escaped to London and the Ecuadorian embassy, where he's been hiding out for about 7 years or so.
And by the way, could you live in a house inside, never going out,
right,
for 7 years? How about 7 days?
It's so funny. I've thought about that.
You might like it, Dan. Well, you don't like people.
No. I don't like people, but I don't like I don't like being locked. I don't like solitary confinement. I mean, I like the people that I like, and I do like getting out and about. I just don't like being out and about with a lot of people. And so, no, it would be very difficult, unless you knew that if you came out, your other option was you'd end up behind bars. Then, yes, it's a pretty good deal if you're under house arrest for 7 years, so to speak. But, yeah, what about you, Jimmy?
I had trouble with 72 hours when I got concussed.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was tough.
I really did. I need people.
Yeah, you need people.
I need people.
You can
people who need people.
You can keep food away from
like
Jimmy, but not people. That will starve him to death.
Yes.
So this is really an interesting story because it is usually when someone does something criminal, you will get most respectable people to say, you do something that's illegal, then we don't like it. Like you can have most of you took a survey and you can ask people, hey, is it okay or isn't it okay to go in and rob candy from the 7-Eleven? I think most people would say, I would hope more than 95% of the people out there would say, that's a wrong thing to do.
Right.
But this is about the First Amendment. This is about information that was gathered through illegal means.
Stop right there.
Yes.
Illegal is against the law.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes.
That's why it's illegal.
But, I mean, some of it, you can argue what the value of it was for. Some of it used for political reasons. Yes.
Yeah.
But if in fact it was uncovering things such as U.S. soldiers killing
soldiers killing
people, including journalists in Iraq, war logs in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is all important information. And I know, you know, I've taught classes on ethics, and we've had this discussion about, you know, here is basically our code of ethics says that we have to, you know, tell the truth. You have to, you know, make sure that you inform the public. There are all these things that you have in there. And then after you teach all that, you say, but wait,
there's U.S. security. There's
stuff that you can get.
Does the public really need to know all the secrets of the government?
No,
Dan?
Well, I don't. I know. I don't think that that people need to know all the secrets of the government.
There's a reason why there's different types of security clearances in the government.
I completely understand that.
Okay.
But what if in this effort to sweep, some of that stuff gets caught in there? For example, when you go fishing with a net. Not that you go fishing with a net. I'm looking at Jimmy like, what does that mean?
Fishing
where are you going with
a
with
net?
It?
Okay.
You know, like
no,
the
I
old
know.
Biblical days where they take a big net and you throw it out there.
Right.
And
you see what you catch.
You see what you catch. Now, sometimes when you catch all that stuff, only one or two things are really good things, but a lot of other stuff gets gathered within that net. And typically you throw that shell away or that fish that's too small, and then you keep the grouper or whatever. I don't know.
What about the tire that you pull
off? Or the tire, yeah. And the plastic bottles.
That's right. Oh, right. Man.
So this is kind of like that. So you throw this illegal net over all of this information that's out there. Is most of or some of that stuff necessary for the public to know about? I would argue probably not. Is there that big grouper or whatever that juicy fish is that's in there that the public does need to know about? I would argue yes. And so then it comes down to
what cost?
Exactly.
Right.
I think that you can't just make a blanket statement that all theft, when it comes to information, now I'm not talking about stealing the candy bars from
personal property or whatever, right?
Exactly.
You're talking about information.
Information.
And the public's right to know.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
sometimes I don't think the public's prepared to know some stuff.
Well, that's another issue. You're right.
Right.
I mean, they don't necessarily want to know how the government deals in some countries. They don't want to know that some of our troops were involved in things that are not, you know, at the very least embarrassing, if not more than that, way more than that.
You know people that have been in the military.
Yes, but they're bad people everywhere, right?
And how many, haven't they said to you, if I tell you this, I'm going to have to kill you?
Well, yes, they've told me that.
I've heard okay. that. Well, don't tell me.
I always say, go ahead and tell me and kill the guy next to me. So. But I think, look, by and large, I think, you know, our military and I would hope government officials are out to do the right thing. We know that the right thing doesn't happen intentionally sometimes or by mistake.
Well, I think the right thing is also open for definition and how you feel about it.
Yes.
You know, whether it's the left thing or the right
or
thing.
The right
thing. Oh, I had to do it.
There you go.
I had to do it.
But I do think, you know, and I pointed this out one time in an ethics class, that I think that sometimes it is okay and it has to be a case-by-case basis. And you can't make this an ongoing pattern. There are times when it's okay to look at evidence, the evidence in front of you, as a reporter now I'm talking, and say, you know what? What I think we can uncover by doing something illegal or by lying is more important than the law. I don't think that happens all the time.
I think
right?
when you're talking about the military in a war zone, there's certain things that I really don't want to know that happened.
Well, that's fine if you don't want to know, but are there people out there who want to know or need to know about something, whether it's you know, something that could make our country more secure by you know, cutting back on something or tightening up something, whatever. When information is exposed, we know oftentimes it leads, if it's some bad thing that government officials are doing, usually someone loses their job, usually there's a full sort of investigation to determine how can this not happen again. There are a lot of good things that can come out of leaked information, or in this case, you know, potentially stolen information. So why shouldn't that be okay? It's information.
Somebody's making a decision about what is right or wrong for the country, and it's, you know, is a journalist's job to decide what that is, or just to, when they find out about the information, decide if this is a story or not that needs to be told?
Oh, no, I think
some stories don't need to be told.
Some stories, no. And again, I think that goes back to my example of, you know, throwing the big fishing net. Mm-hmm. I don't think that most of the information is out there. I think that's where people have a problem with this. You're stealing a lot of stuff that doesn't need to be stolen, and then using important components of that to argue your point that it's okay to take all of this or to have access to all of this. And I just, you know, it's difficult because you're kind of, as a journalist, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth when you have this conversation.
Shocked to hear
right.
that.
Right. Because you're trying to you want the audience to trust in you, in the information that you're giving them. If I'm saying to my child, I don't want you to lie or steal. Trust me, I don't do that. You know, follow my example or whatever. Okay. And that's how you raise your child. And then you say to them, but there are times where you have to lie and cheat and steal. that's a confusing message for a child. Imagine the confusion for the public. Well, if you will lie to get a story, even if it's a good story, what else will you lie about?
Now, there's a pattern of behavior and pattern of misinformation that is out there. And it's still up to a human to decide, once again, what the public has a right to know,
right,
and what they perhaps aren't mature enough to know,
yeah,
because it's a mob mentality when you're talking about the public.
No, I think you're right. But this is one of those stories. And on the drive over here, I was listening to NPR, which I know you're a fan of public radio and television. And
you're saying that facetiously, Dan.
I am. For those of you who are just listening to this podcast for the first time, Jimmy has this thing about public radio and public television.
I don't think tax dollars should be going towards media like that. I just don't.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
my feeling.
He recycles
we
that
all work
argument
so
every
hard
time.
In commercial media. Yeah. We all work so hard to get the segment of audience that we work so hard to
it's
deliver.
It's basically commercial media. They're just saying it's sponsored by
Correct.
Rather than an ad.
Exactly right. And that's
just different language to set it
correct.
All up. But I love public television.
I know,
public
and
radio.
I know a lot of people, very smart people, I might add, that listen to NPR and all that.
Well,
so,
I put myself in that category.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm just
I'm
going to
throw you right
that's
into
joke.
That.
That's a joke.
No, it's not, actually, especially compared to your co-host.
No. That's, anyway, I was driving in, we digress. I was driving in listening to NPR, and it was interesting because there are a lot of, you know, lawmakers in London, for example. And by the way, again, just to kind of frame this, he was in the Ecuadorian embassy, the Ecuadorian embassy in working along with certainly U.S. authorities and officials in the U.K. They ended up going in and getting him. And now he's being held by them. And there's some effort now to have him extradited to the United States.
He also was accused of sexual assault in Sweden.
Well,
too.
There is that
little item, too.
Right. No, though there is. This is I'm not saying
this is
that
not
Julian
a good person.
is the model for a Boy Scout of the Year award.
No,
I'm not saying that. I'm using this story to have a conversation about the is there value to take material illegally or surreptitiously, or you know, use whatever word you want to use. Is there ever any value to doing something like that? And again, you know, as I said, listening to the radio on the way into the studio, there were a lot of lawmakers who were saying, you know, this is just not right. There's information here for the purposes of uncovering truths by reporters to deliver to the public. This should not be happening to him. He has a lot of supporters. Now, you can strip away that all the other ugly stuff away from
him. And the
this.
Person who actually leaked the documents, this woman, Chelsea, went to jail. Chelsea Manning went to jail. So, you know, he's just the founder.
The information flowed through his site. And basically what the site was, and I think between a period of like 2006 and 2009, there were 10 million documents and analysis information that they published on WikiLeaks. What's interesting, and this is an aside, and here I am just putting the bait on the hook, flinging it across the table for you to head into Reverend Young mode.
Preacher. The preacher.
So it's when the President Trump was asked about these latest developments, his response, and I'm paraphrasing here, was what? I don't know anything about it. WikiLeaks? What's that?
He's good at that.
I don't even care about them. I don't follow them. You know, it's like I think I heard something. It's as if the WikiLeaks word was just introduced into the vocabulary that day. And a lot of the networks have been replaying clips during the campaign where WikiLeaks was his love child. That's the way he spoke of it. It's like, oh, it's my baby. I love this baby. I thought that was interesting how his memory maybe or his just what he does.
I know, right.
So, my personal view. Just I serve that up because I know that that's kind of red meat for Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, because he's delusional and he is out of touch from reality of what's going on, or he's smarter than everybody, right?
Yeah.
And plays this role of being the dumb POTUS.
Well, I found it interesting. I was watching a network yesterday, and here's how they did the segment.
Yeah.
They said they had a guest on,
yeah.
And they said, oh, you know, the president was saying he didn't know anything, but let's play a little tape here. And they ran the tape, and that, you know, kind of going over what I just said, except
yep.
his real quotes as opposed to my paraphrase.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, but he said something quite different back on the campaign trail. And then they edited together probably, I don't know, 6 clips of him saying how much he loved, you know, WikiLeaks and so forth. So it's interesting how this goes along to how the media has been doing a lot more sort of real-time fact-checking of information that the president puts out there, and the Julian Assange case is no exception.
No, absolutely not. And do you remember a history lesson here? And I'm going to give my friend Evan.
I was
remember
sleeping.
The Pentagon Papers?
Oh, yes, yes. I
Daniel
know
Ellsberg and
I
all that.
I remember the Pentagon.
That was
yes.
pre-internet, by the way.
It was. Actually, that wasn't that a long time ago.
Didn't
that was
the public need to know yeah. that information?
Yeah, no, definitely. It
certainly helped bring down another whack job in the White House. Sorry.
There are a number
of... Why am I apologizing?
Yeah, why
That's
are
exactly
you?
How
That's
I
exactly
feel.
Right. Yeah, no. I think that there are cases, and some more notable than others, where information did not come through traditional channels before it got to the public,
right.
through newspapers or television. And it is, I often wonder, some of the stories that we've later found out weren't true. So the way that things were reporting, had there been some other channel to get at the truth? And again, not every story requires us to, you know, put on the hood. What you looked at me as if I was going to say something about the KKK when
yeah,
I said the
I know,
hood.
That's
no,
that's exactly where my brain.
I know,
goes.
No. I was thinking of when like a robber goes into you put
oh,
the stocking
about the cone
maybe,
of silence.
No, maybe I should have said stocking instead
okay,
of hood.
Stocking. Okay,
apologies
okay,
for using the wrong
that's
word.
Right, that's right.
That led you to interpret by that word that I was going down some other road.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
right. Well, I wasn't going down that
good.
Road.
Okay,
I meant you know when you think of the robber, there's like a stocking with
the
little eye holes or whatever.
Except the one who wears the fishnets and you can see. Through it on that one commercial, right? Is that Geico, maybe? I don't know. You know, little Johnny,
right.
What are you doing over there?
That's right.
You know,
no, that is funny. Now I'm sort of lost
Does
my train
Does your mother
of
know
thought.
Where you are? I love that commercial.
I've lost my train of thought.
Thank you. I'm
but
very good at
yes,
that, aren't
you,
I?
You threw me off.
That's what I do.
But I think, you know, I guess to sum right. it all up, there are times, I think, and not we have to do it sparingly because every story doesn't rise to the level of where we have
national
to,
security.
National security or, you know, you'll find out something. Oh, someone lied about something. Should you uncover it? You know, it may not be that big a deal. No, you shouldn't do other illegal activity to uncover something small and insignificant that's also illegal. But there are times where you might be handed information that was obtained illegally, and your only duty. Oh, and this is what I wanted to say that I forgot. Your only duty at that point is to
attribute it.
Well, no, because you may not be able to attribute it to anything.
Oh.
Someone hands you something,
yes.
you know it's stolen. Number one is to verify that the information you got is, in fact, real. It's not just something made up that someone gave you. So that's the first thing.
Okay.
And then the second thing being you have to talk to the lawyers who can advise you on the implications of running with that story and where you could end up if you choose not to say where you got it from.
Okay, so this is a little cliche here, but
yes. –
When you're live on the news set, you know that what happens sometimes. Ooh, this just in.
You have to use the bathroom? Is that
no,
what
this
oh.
just in, this breaking story.
What?
I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'm being handed this piece of paper that has words on it from my producer, who I trust.
The producers have, yes, before they give it to you, someone will have made sure, or should,
right.
that the information, at least at the level that you will be reporting at that moment, you know, this just in, here are 3 things we know, is correct.
Right. And anyway, I think what this guy has done is illegal by the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Espionage Act, I think there's a lot of things that he violated. By the way, when you hack into a government computer and you know get around the password, to me that's a crime.
No, it is.
That's a crime. That's
I'm
cybersecurity.
Not saying that
that's
not a crime.
That's what spawned cybersecurity and everything.
I'm not saying it's not a crime.
So, you know, information obtained illegally and then shared with the public, to me, it goes back to the social media things we've talked mm-hmm. about so many times on this podcast. Can't the social media world, they're being held to the fire. Their feet,
right,
Facebook
right.
and Google, they're feet are in the fire now,
right.
And they're trying, at least I'm believing well, that
yeah,
they're trying,
yeah, I, yeah, yeah.
To make more money is what they're trying to do. That's what they're really trying to do, and still maintain some sense of credibility as someone who shares public information.
Right, and a lot of stuff ends up on social media that is garbage, and it's always sort of vetting to find out what is real and what isn't. And I think, you know, in the case of something like this, we don't want – I wish we had a more sympathetic character here to talk about. I think if you had someone who – legitimately, you know, there were one set of documents that someone went and got illegally obtained, but reporters ran with it and uncovered something that was blockbuster. I think you'd probably find more, you'd be more sympathetic for someone like that than somebody like this who seemed to have, you know, political bents or helping some political establishment get information
elected
to bring down someone else or whatever. There were all kinds of, plus there are all these other things that are going on around that person. I think that makes it much more difficult to make the argument around this issue because of who we have here,
right.
Julian Assange.
Right.
And but nonetheless, it's an important conversation to have, and it's one that people have been having now for a number of years and will continue to have even as the U.S. government tries to get him on our shores in order to, in their words, bring him home for justice.
Or hire him.
To tell him how not to get.
Well, you know, right. I mean, Frank Abagnale, the guy, catch me if you can,
yeah,
guy.
They, no, that's
you know,
right.
He conned
right.
the government for a long time, and then they say, you know what? Why don't you work for us? Because, like, obviously you're smarter than some of the people that you've been conning.
Yeah, most of them.
Most of them, that's right.
If you like this episode, let us know. Let us know what you think about this. Is it okay to steal when you are uncovering truths, important information for the public? We'd like to hear from you. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and drop us a line at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.